on this Friday edition of Hagman Report. Our guest is Steve Quayle. SteveQuayle.com is the website. We were talking about Antarctica in hour one. I know we're going to get into Mars in this hour. Steve, where do you want to pick up?
Well, I want to go straight to Mars, okay? And, Doug, I'm going to send you an email, and it's going to be, and if you can get it up on your screen, do you have someone there, Joe, that can put this up so your listeners can see it?
We'll see what we can do here. Yep.
Okay, sure, let me just send this. Let me just send this to you right now, okay? And it's the third one down. It'll be so obvious. I've never seen a clear animal face, and it's a wolf. Well, Vladimir Putin calls his, you know, his young wolves, the young military-aged people, actually kids who are learning how to get prepared to fight. He calls them the young wolves. But the fact that this is over Russia and it was in the Aurora is pretty unsettling. Okay, so it's just been sent to you, and let me just make sure it goes out. People get to see this stuff in real time, what really goes on behind the scenes. Okay, here we go. Mars. You've got to ask yourself, why have so many science fiction movies, and why has Mars probably played the most important role in ancient history, even more so than any other planet, any other constellation, any other heavenly body? I submit to you that Mars and Earth were, in essence, twin planets. That at one point, when God originally created them, that Mars, if you will, would have been the Cain planet, and Earth was Abel. There's twins in the Bible. We know that. We know that Jacob and Esau, we know the idea that one is received by God, one is judged by God. And so the idea, Doug, is this, that something happened between Mars and the Earth that the ancients knew. The ancients, by the way, were terrified of Mars. And even when we were in, Cusco, Peru, and we were at the Coricancha, I think I posted on my website, a picture. The constellation they were most concerned with was Draco, the dragon. Huh, that's interesting. The search for life on Mars is about to get weird. This is from Scientific American. Astrobiologists ponder sending gene sequencers, weather stations, drilling rigs, and more to the red planet. Now, I don't know that most people will be able to understand the true meaning of that. Astrobiologists ponder sending gene sequencers, weather stations, drilling rigs, and more to the red planet. This is Scientific American. The thought that you can take bacteria from Mars, or you can send a gene sequencer to Mars, if you do not supply the gene or genetic material to Mars, then what you got to assume, don't you, that there's already genetic material on Mars that they can sequence. Isn't that basic logic?
Yeah, one would say, yep. Okay. Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah, I'm looking for two to say, okay? The headlines are the all-telling lines, okay? And how about this? Raman, R-A-M-A-N, which is a form of spectroscopic analysis, meets extremophiles on Earth and Mars. Studies for successful search for life, the Royal Society, compared with extraterrestrial scenarios on Mars, Titan, and Enceladus, and Europa, the different moons. Now, what's really important is that when you're seeing all of these stories, I can share this with you, and I'm going to go through the headlines I've posted on my website that are absolutely painting a paint-by-number picture of how this thing's going to play out, okay? Mars, BBC Future. This was stated in the headlines in 2014. If setting up home on another planet sounds a daunting prospect, then our space correspondent Richard Hollingham is here to help. In the video about former astronaut Jeff Hoffman describes the project to bring oxygen to Mars.
Interesting.
Now, did you just hear what I said?
Yeah.
Well, I'm telling you this, that oxygen already exists on Mars, just not at the same level on Earth. Why geothermal energy will be key to Mars colonization? That's Forbes, September 2016. The largest volcano in our galaxy is Olympus Mons. And Olympus Olympus Mons is an interesting thing because in Greek mythology, Mount Olympus is where the gods, or quote-unquote, in the quail way of saying, the fallen angels used to live before God kicked their, rebellious personas off of it, and by destroying, the area, making it inhospitable for them. By the way, angels, fallen angels, do not need oxygen to breathe or any of that stuff. But obviously, God knows how to make it tough on that those who have rebelled against him. So the idea is simply this, you guys, that in all of the denials of the past, let's say 100 years of from the time the first astronomers believe they saw canals on Mars and snow, ice caps. And by the way, you look at Mars now and all the polar ice caps that you used to see years ago are no longer there. Everything that was denied is now being embraced. Does that seem strange to you? We were told there's no, obviously, water on the moon. Now there's water on the moon. We were told there's no water on Mars. And we're going to get by the half hour, and Joe, keep me to this. When NASA announced that there was a Martian Morse code and claimed they were sand dunes, and the Martian Morse code of the sand dunes matched almost uniquely to the geoglyphs inscribed on the plains of Tiwanaku in Bolivia, that David Flynn is the only guy that ever brought this to the world's attention. Unfortunately, the Lord took him home, and now we've got to believe God to raise up somebody of his genius level, and he was a genius. The man was certifiably a genius, but also no one had ever postulated that which David Flynn had done, and on my website, Cydonia, The Secret Chronicle of Mars, I brought that book out, and I think I wrote a 40-page introduction about the Marzetta Stone. The Marzetta Stone is a term I coined in order to explain that the, if you will, Martian sand dunes, which NASA said were Martian Morse code, then they said, oh, we were just kidding, but why can they be kidding if that which matches the geoglyphs on Tiwanaku match Mars? In essence, as above, so below. That's not just a New Age term. In essence, the pyramids that were on Mars and the Sphinx on Mars that matched the pyramid and Sphinx on the Egyptian plateau that David Flynn also went on, and Richard Hoagland and others talked about it. The point simply being, Doug, is the relationship between Mars and the Earth are going to it's going to soon become a kiss and cousins redo, if you will. We're going to go back,
That's going to be like a force multiplier in the deception, right? I mean, that's kind of what I'm hearing. Okay, all right, go ahead, sir.
Well, here's the interesting thing, too. I'm going through just a couple of the statements I made at Branson, but the planet Rahab, okay, which was the planet that Bode's Law says should exist between Mars and Jupiter, was destroyed. But it was so violent because of God's judgment that the craters on all the remaining planets and Earth's moon were formed by the cataclysmic fragmentation of the once rebellious planet. In other words, the fingerprints of God, supernatural destruction on Lucifer's planet Rahab can still be seen on the surface of the moon, the surface of Mars, and even the craters in the United States, the craters on planet Earth. When you The guys who are smart, astrophysicists and orbital physicists, who have basically calculated the position of Mars, the proximal orbit of Mars, and again, if you can see Olympus Mons, the largest volcano in our galaxy, going off with the naked eye, and by 700 BC, some of them claim that it got as close as 70,000 miles to Earth, the gravitational upheaval would be so immense, and the charge between the planets, the plasma discharge, and I believe that the Grand Canyon on Mars and the Grand Canyon on Earth most possibly were created with a plasma torch, if you will, an interplanetary plasma discharge, and the water erosion may have taken place after that, but it was the discharge that cut the planet. Now, no one that I know of has ever said that, okay? And I'm just trying to say this. I do my best to pray this stuff through, investigate it through, and then I got to leave the rest with the Lord to make it real. So the Bolivian geoglyphs matched the NASA Mars code, and I'll try and get this to you so you can put it up. I've never put these up on my website side by side. Number one, I'm not smart enough to do it. But then I have a brother, Sean, God bless you, Sean, if you're listening, in South Africa, who took one of the areas of a normal satellite image and then showed the elevation, and this is the tunnel system. This is critical now. What they're claiming, Doug, is the lava tubes on Mars may have life in them. Well, one of the closest shots I can get, you know, the best photographs, show the intentional elevation blurred. That's because you can see the normal satellite image on the left. Those of you who saw the Mars presentation at Branson, you probably remember seeing this. But why would, with such incredible accuracy, why would, and optics that are beyond most people's ability to even relate to from a photographic standpoint, why would they intentionally blur that? Well, they want to cover it up. The idea of looking for life in Hawaii's lava tubes now is fully underway. The Martian, if you will, experiments going on in Hawaii, on Mauna Kea, and different parts of the Big Island are basically because of the volcanic aspect of Olympus Mons on Mars. By the way, Olympus Mons is 88,600 feet high and 374 miles in diameter. If you can imagine how many lava tubes and lava fields and everything else, I think it'll be a pretty amazing undertaking for everyone. So the thing I want to cover right now is all of the different headlines that have happened just in the last maybe 60 to 90 days, Doug, because I think it's important that people get a feel for this, that this whole Marsan thing isn't just because people need to have something to keep them, you know, busy, but it's time for people to really start seeking the Lord. Because how many people you think outside of those that listen to this or listen to DVDs or whatever, or watch YouTubes, are really going to get it? And maybe a better answer is, how many people do you think really care? You know?
Wow. Yeah. And that's the purpose of these programs is to lessen the deception, I guess, or to increase the knowledge and lessen the deception.
Well, absolutely. And again, you know, I'm struggling for words because I'm under my breath and praying, Lord, where should I go right now? Okay, I think I better just stick with the plan. Daily Mail, this is today. I'll go from today backwards, okay? And these are all the headlines on Mars, just that I have picked up or have been sent to me. Daily Mail, take a tour of Mars on your desktop. NASA releases incredible 3D map of the red planet with images taken by its Curiosity rover. The future of life on Mars, concept images reveal designs for a self-sustaining human settlement on the red planet in 100 years' time. What, now here's the great one. What humans will look like in 1,000 years, taking into account Mars's low gravity, could allow the human spine to elongate enough to add a few extra inches to our height. New Giants on Mars? That's the title of the New Giants on Mars. I don't know if people get that. I'll just go on. What you need to know about Mars and the secret space program. Is Mars a result of an ancient nuclear war? Was teleportation used to send men to Mars in a secret space program? How many people, Doug, as an investigator, would you have to have with impeccable credentials to believe that? Unknown to each other. Seriously. In a court of law, you've been doing enough for you.
I mean, obviously, the obvious answer is the more the better, but, you know, you have two or more corroborating witnesses with impeccable credentials. You know, I'm not exactly, and I'm thinking here in the court of public opinion now, as opposed to a legal court. I don't know if you could ever have enough in that venue, but in the legal venue, I'm sure that two or more with impeccable credentials about this particular or about any particular topic would sway or would provide the preponderance of evidence in the direction of the facts. Does that make sense to you?
Okay. Would this say to you, what would this say to you? These are real numbers. I'm not making this up. Four generals, four stars. Okay.
Right.
Three intelligence agents.
Okay.
A gentleman handpicked by Dr. Teller, the father of the hydrogen bomb. Someone known to the radio audience who was in Space Fleet that's been to Mars. So 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and all impeccable, who are respected by their fellow men, and obviously, the people say, "Well, I won't believe it unless you bring them on." And they tell their name. Do you think I'm that dumb? If you got 9 people, and I can tell you this, every single one of them checks out to be who they are. Okay. They don't know each other. They're all, not connected in any way, shape, or form. Would that make you think maybe that they're telling the truth?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And yes. I think it's difficult when people have this preconceived or, we're taught from our smallest age to believe in one specific narrative, and then this narrative is shattered by the information that you're providing. So you're starting from not zero, not ground level, but below ground level to convince or to provide evidence to a already skeptical audience, shall we say. But I get
yes.
that. I mean, go ahead.
Yeah, but I want to say this. So, people say, "No, I won't believe it unless I see it." And I'd say to you the same thing. You wouldn't believe it even if you saw it. And that's, can I tell you something? If there is ever a point of frustration in my life, it's this. It is, Lord, how do you get people that don't believe anything, especially who claim to know you, that don't believe your word, how do you get them to believe what I'm saying? And then, Lord, if I tell them, you told me if I would warn them, you would bring the people that know, people say, oh, you're just making that up,
Yeah, exactly.
The idea is this, it's almost like, why? And then I ask the Lord, and I want to put this into perspective one more time. When I ask the Lord, what's the use, Lord, of continuing to try and tell people about all this stuff, and then I get the naysayers, well, what does it have to do with salvation? I can't tell you, Doug, the thousands of people since I've been on talk radio have given their heart to the Lord because of the issue of the giants, because of the issue of understanding when God told the children of Israel to go in and kill every man, woman, and child that were not humans, that they've come to know the Lord, okay? They've come
exactly.
to know the Lord.
And I've seen and thanks for bringing that up, because it has everything to do with salvation. And what you just said there, I'm not going to repeat it, but what you just said there is classic, and I thank you for addressing that. Go ahead.
Yep. I better clarify this. Somebody said, Marcus sends me, was a plasma discharge from Mars caused by the planet's destruction or the volcanoes going off? No, the plasma discharge, look this up, Marcus, is Roche, R-O-C-H-E's limit, okay? The planet Rahab that would have been between Mars and Jupiter was destroyed due to Roche's limit. In order for that to have taken place, the orbital velocity and the proximal distance between the planets had to have been supernaturally moved by God. So it did not have anything to do with the planet's destruction, but volcanoes going off, as you change the gravity and the gravitational effect on an electrical, if you will, magma chamber, that's going to cause a lot of serious disruption. But it was, and I hope I make this really clear, that the plasma discharge from Mars and Rahab, the proximity, is what caused the destruction of Rahab, the planet. The planet Rahab, Lucifer's planet, then the asteroid belt, and it must have been with such horrific force that, in essence, the fingerprints of God's judgment on Lucifer's planet are revealed in the craters throughout the solar system. And dependent upon the locations of the craters on the different planets and their moons, you can get a proximal distance and you can tell what time it happened, So I hope I've answered that question. By the way, there are people that teach that Atlantis is Antarctica. I asked the people who have a lot of stars at, and they said absolutely not. So to the guy that's, I'm just answering these questions.
Okay.
That is the Atlantis before the flood that was frozen. No, I'm not saying that Antarctica is Atlantis in any way, but I'm saying that it's what you see under the frozen ice cap where the civilization exists. You know, so please say clear on show on what is there from what age. I don't understand, Jay. If you expect me to answer your question, be articulate. And that isn't a put down, it's just a request, you know. Okay, so Doug, we're going to go on. I'm not going to veer anymore from that because, again, people have a million questions. I just left with what you need to know about Mars and the secret space program. Is Mars a result of an ancient nuclear war? Was teleportation used to send men to Mars in a secret space program? Absolutely, and still is. How about this? AI implants will allow us to control our homes with our thoughts within 20 years, government report claims. That's like old news, you guys. And then I put up on my website the other day the trailer for the 1953 movie, Invaders from Mars. And that was the first science fiction presentation of implants in the back of a skull. I don't know if you remember seeing that. If anybody wants to take a look at that, it was a high-budget movie, by the way. I think it was $10 million
yep.
bucks. It bombed, but it was a high-budget movie. Now, how about this? This is just in October this month. Ion thruster prototype breaks records and tests, could send humans to Mars. The whole space program that people see is nothing but a magician's hypnotic amulet. Simply stated, it means this. They keep us occupied with that space program, and they funnel money from that space program, solid rockets, liquid fuel rockets, all of the stuff you see. That's all old, old school. The real program has been taking place for the last 50 years, and that's what they call black ops. That's what they call the black budget secret space program. Okay, let's do this. Life really could exist on Mars. Life really could exist on Mars. Hardy bacteria, similar to that found in the Arctic, may thrive on the red planet thanks to a salty solution that prevents liquid water from freezing. You know, and I put a note. These are all in the hot headlines on my website. Dr. Stephen Greer, interviewed by the Health Ranger. Secret groups planning false flag alien attack to roll out world government. Now, I said this, so watch how the Antarctic and current Mars revelations play out concerning this. NASA pinpoints ancient underwater volcanoes on Mars that may have a cradle of life 4 billion years ago. Similar conditions on Earth are believed to have led to the emergence of life. Hello? NASA pinpoints ancient underwater volcanoes on Mars. Aren't we told that there is no water on Mars? You see how this is, Doug? I believe God is being so cool in this, and Lord, I mean no disrespect, but I mean amazingly clear. Every single lie these lying mouthpieces of hell, these vomit brokers from the mainstream have put out, individually, the tapestry of lies, deception, and hellish manipulation of the truth are being pulled out, and the whole thing's unraveling on them. How about this, Doug? Okay, this is just too amazing for me. NASA wants to alter the DNA of Mars astronauts in the 2030s to protect them from cancerous space radiation.
Ooh.
Now listen to this. Take a little. This is my statement. Take a little Martian bacteria found in Antarctica and add into astronauts' genome, and Neo-Martians, they are now engineered. By the way, that's my new word, Neo-Martians. How about this hot headline, all in October still? NASA missions detect massive aurora and radiation spike on Mars. This one, this Martian discovery could hold clues to the origin of life on Earth. Experts have predicted for years that at some point in the near future, we will make the first human discovery of alien life, and that life will be on Mars.
Wow.
I hate to say it, told you so, telling you so, but
yeah.
It's up to you to, you know, go and see the Lord and seek him. Humans could soon live inside the moon and Mars in giant underground, here you go, tunnels carved out by volcanoes. Those of you on the Big Island, God bless you, Hawaii. This is interesting, too, okay? Europe's space bus Utah says, now is the time to build a moon village and pledge permanent new lunar bases by the end of the next decade. You know, it just goes on and on. I want to share this one. Elon Musk's Mars vision, a one-size-fits-all rocket, a very big one. SQ Rocket Artist's conception looks like the early science fiction movie's portrayal of rocket ship to Mars. How do I say this? If it's a genetic memory or a planted memory, the science fiction of old. I remember, I don't know, Doug, if you ever, if any of you ever stayed up and during the years of early television watching the science fiction movies like The Mysterians and Mothra and, you know, Godzilla. Man, I think I must
have
watched each one of those. Those were the days, you know. I mean, you, the sun would go down and the sun would come up and you'd still be on episode 5. Or, you know, I love that stuff, okay? How about this? This is another one. Lockheed Martin. The time is now. Lockheed Martin reveals plan for manned Mars base camp that will orbit the red planet in 2028 with landing shuttles to ferry crew members to the surface. Yeah? I told you, everyone, Mars is going to dominate the headlines. And I'll say this to my detractors, my slanders, and those that I should pay no attention to. You ought to really listen to what I say and get over your hate. Separate your emotional contempt for me and your desire to wanting me dead and hear this, because it may save your life and keep you from eternally being damned. And I'm not saying if people don't listen to me, they're damned. I'm saying I'm talking about my detractors and those who scorn, okay? Humans could soon live inside the moon. How about this? Beijing eyes robotic and human settlement on Mars with ambition 2020 mission. Do you know, Doug, how everything and Joe, everything is shortening in time? In other words,
the
year is 2030, and then it's 2028, yep. Now we're at 2020.
Yep.
NASA's Curiosity rover captures spectacular images as it climbs toward a mysterious outcrop. Okay? It's just coming at us.
Well, we're being conditioned, Steve, right? I mean, yeah. I don't mean to interrupt, but all of this is conditioning, which, by the way, and to your credit, I'm going to say this. When you first started out back, I don't know, 20 years ago when we first met, I thought you were a little off, okay? Not mentally, but I thought you were a little bit, instead of being ahead of your time, I thought you're stretching a little bit in your interpretation of things. Now you look back and everything that you had posted and said this is going to happen is happening now. Not that you need my endorsement, but looking at it from an investigative point of view, that was my thought. But now I see what's going on. So thank you.
Well, yeah, and again, you know, when you can't see something, and then look, here's the deal. I have to pray because I know this in the parable of the seed that's planted. I know the blackbirds, if you will, the devil, the demons, everything is going to come and try and steal the truth away. So I just pray in Jesus' name people will take this stuff to heart, you know. How about this one, Doug? This is one of the ones that I just love, you know. Because again, there's so much unfolding. It's astonishing to me. Gravity map of Mars suggests the crust is porous. Again, the Jeopardy song. Scientists want to genetically modify superhumans for space travel to Mars. My answer to that is already have. Breakthrough in hunt for life on Mars as boron find adds to the evidence life did once exist on the red planet. Shows conditions from which life would have potentially grown and may have existed on ancient Mars independent from Earth. Ah, what lies beneath? Next mission to Mars will probe the red planet's deep interior. InSight will do a deep dive into the Martian underground, putting two instruments onto the surface that will ferry information back from the depths. Can I make it even easier for you guys at NASA? Of course, they've already done this. Just send a probe into Valle Marineris, which is 5 miles deep, and you don't have to go because the strata all the way down would be equal to the Grand Canyon. Again, we should have the Jeopardy. You know, why do the inane when the plane is so capable?
Exactly.
I love this one. We have the first ever evidence that Mars gets intense snowstorms in the dead of night. Well, you know, it's certainly not raindrops, because, you know, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. During the, and here's the other one. During the much-anticipated solar eclipse on Monday, NASA, in collaboration with Montana State University, is launching giant balloons filled with bacteria into the stratosphere. That's, by the way, Montana State University, NASA. SQ, terraforming experiment for Mars, the Andromeda strain in reverse. NASA, we're going to try and make oxygen from the atmosphere on Mars. I would urge everyone, if I put it in the first person, I'm telling you what I wrote. This is all on my website. You can go check it out for yourself. I would urge everyone who sees what's coming with the Mars revelations to acquire Cydonia, the Secret Chronicle of Mars, located on my front page. Now you'll have to go to the books because I put the Yellowstone thing up there. And again, Doug, if you notice what we're talking about, I start out with Antarctica, Empire Beneath the Ice, how the Nazis won World War III. Then I move to Yellowstone, and I'm putting up the Yellowstone video, and Yellowstone changed the history of the world forever when it came to genetic engineering and polymerase chain reaction, making almost any imaginable or any imaginable creature possible by combining DNA. And now we've got, you know, going back into August, we've got evidence of a ninth planet. Two astronomers discuss new research that provides evidence of a giant planet tracing a bizarre, highly elongated orbit in our outer solar system. A highly elongated orbit. That's what the ancients tracked. That's what they were afraid of in Mars. Mars had a very close orbit up until 700 BC.
Okay.
Oh, well, gee, listen, you know,
700 BC.
Steve,
let me ask you from my. Okay, you said 700 BC. What happened then? Why 700 BC? What took place where that changed the orbit? Deluge or?
Yeah, you lost me.
Okay, you said. And I'm sorry, maybe I misunderstood your statement. Mars had an elongated orbit until 700 BC, or did I mishear you?
No, you heard me correctly. In other words, it came within 70,000 miles of Earth on multiple occasions through the previous 4,000 years, and that's why so many people on Earth were terrified of the heavens. That's okay. Why everybody was watching the skies. They believed in catastrophism. Even Solon, when talking to the priest of Sais, which is a, you know, the Egyptian, if you will, the keepers of the, by the way, the Egyptian priesthood still is alive today, and they possess all the ancient knowledge, and that's where the mystery schools ultimately all pay their homage. And the point being is that the priests of Sais basically said to Solon, when it comes to understanding of your world, I'm paraphrasing this, you Greeks are but children, for there have been many catastrophes and cataclysms, and will be many more. So, you know, when I posted my list of 25 things that the Lord had shown me, some I've dealt with over the years, I've been on talk radio, others I've dealt with, only recently was I allowed to release the whole list, and I never got to do it at Branson, so I had to do it in a separate presentation, which the people at Branson, the people that are the DVDs and live streamers should have got by now. If you haven't, send me an email, say you didn't get the links, and I'll forward it to Jed, and he'll get you the links. But the point being, Doug, is that I said that the orbits you now see will become so non-normal that they will be disengaged from their orbital path, and you're going to see things in the sky that will be non-explainable by the powers that be. In other words, it's going to rattle their cage. If you start seeing Mars, which, you know, at its closest point is so many millions of miles, and now it comes within a couple hundred thousand of miles, and it hasn't done that for so long. See, this is why the cover-up, okay? This is why there's so much cover-up. The whole thing on the 10th planet, Nibiru, Gabriel's fist, okay? Lucifer's hammer. Makes anybody believe that they'll ever be told the truth by any official source. That should be the, if you will, the prime directive for anybody who watches mainstream news. And mainstream news knows that, so now you've got these all hyenas and jackals trying to make it a legal offense to tell any story outside of the party line, okay? Oh, if people in America only knew that everything you've known, everything our forefathers fought for, died for, the price price that the veterans have paid to have these waning moments of any form of liberty, and then to see all of the scumbag former presidents coming up against Trump and the global New World Order leaders, you know, or how dare Clinton even open his mouth when they pillaged and plundered the American people of billions. But that's not the problem. That's a big problem. The problem is everything we ever had, everything was given to the Chinese under the Clinton administration. Everything.
That's right.
And I had a multi-star general tell me that, and three of them echo that they have everything, Steve. They have everything.
And that was before the self-enrichment of the Clinton Foundation. But you're absolutely right. The technology back in the 90s transfer to China was immense.
Yeah, under L'Oreal Satellite. Go look that up. L-O-R-E-L Satellite. So, Doug, here's the thing. The headlines get curiouser and curiouser and more pronounced every day. Mars is a big deal. It's not a candy bar any longer, okay? It's the entire nature, and it will be the origin, if you will, of the deception, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. And so just to be clear, though, not just Mars, but Antarctica and Mars together. Is that right? I mean, it's again, Mars.
Yeah. What I'm saying is you're going to see it. You're not getting it. And I don't mean that as a put down or anything, but the tie in with Antarctica is that's the gentle shoehorn to understand Mars. They're going to claim that Mars is the, if you will, the cedar of life for the primordial Earth beneath the ice. And
gotcha.
That's where the evolutionary process took. And then it's going to change from that to Martians are the ones that seeded us life on this planet, and it's going to be like the movie Prometheus.
Okay, and that there makes perfect sense. I got it. All right.
Yeah.
Perfect.
And you know, here, I want to quote that, and thank you, Randy. Randy Conway sent me one of his poems, and those of you who had the blessing of meeting him at Branson, you know, I'd encourage you to obviously get his book, you know, his two-part series, Before the Thunder Sounds, Poems to Empower the Soul. And I'm going to read this because it absolutely fits. Remember, another word for Stargate is portal, is doorway, okay? The opening of deadly doors. Mountaintop to mountaintop, ziggurat to ziggurat, dimension to dimension, who traversed them and with what intention? From the heavens to the earth, what atrocities were given birth? When the Ben Elohim saw the daughters of men, and in that moment an evil enterprise did begin. From battle to battle into the flood, the seed had been stained, a corruption of blood. Therein lies the intention. It was an evil contravention. From the Adamite world until our own, the godmen and their offspring have been known. Most thought of them but fable and myth or story. A few might have given them the place of allegory. Ancient peoples, the Americas and around the globe, knew of the watchers and the giants that roamed. They knew of the portals that bend time and space, allowing dimensional beings to mingle with the human race. But did they know how ancient was his plan, always attempting to corrupt the seed of man, to stop the Savior from ever being born? This is why the Ben Elohim crossed the heavenly born. From the Vatican to Washington is but Apollyon to Abaddon. From Cydonia to Sardinia into the Smithsonian, once again, something wicked this way comes. Are the Uparts remnants left by ancient giants, the Rephaim? The question must be asked, are the giants coming back again? The evidence is mounting, proving the return is imminent. Untold peril will await all those who are ambivalent. There are legends, lore, and stories told in books and parchments and ancient scrolls. Clues are left behind in rocks and caverns and under the ice. Many are the seekers of powers of evidences have enticed. Cover-ups and lies attempting to guard the truth from our sight. Are the things of darkness now being brought into the light? Is there a power or fallen angel technology to be obtained? Can men survive that which is on the earth is chained? The ancient portal doors long closed, men now open, the ancient portal doors long closed, men now long to open, using technology mixed with spiritism as druidic chants are spoken. warned this could bring an unimaginable giant holocaust as hungry cannibal cyclopeans are released when this line is crossed. From ancient, I'm sorry, I've only read this the first time, so I apologize, Randy. From ancient Mayan to the Hopi, the stories differed little. In Europe and China, ancient people received the same transmittal. And so it is, as the accounts of giants span the globe. In every age and every land, the giants found a bone. From Giza to the Valley of Elah, Goliath was not alone. Can man survive the days ahead if giants are released to roam? The connecting thread through the stories told of giants eating flesh, it was not the flesh of animals that satisfied the hungry Gilgamesh. From Switzerland to Washington, men are searching for the key from Babylon to the Smithsonian to unlock the Stargate that sets them free. Is the fifth world now upon us? Has time now turned another page? Will this be the generation to witness the cloud eaters' golden age? Be strong and courageous is the command of the believer. Move along. Nothing to see here is a lie given by the deceiver. He who knows the beginning from the end is able to keep the repentant. For those who scoff the living word, the unimaginable is for them impendent. So in other words, what they want to deny, it will be shortly upon them. I'll post this, the opening of deadly doors. And wow, Randy, what a good job saying, and what I've been trying to say, you know, it's very problematic. So the time is now upon us. Among us, it's among us, it's upon us. And so how should we then live? We should remember that God loves us so much, Doug, that he will not allow his people not to be warned before the events taking place or concurrent with the events taking place. You know, it gets more and more curiouser every day that I post on my website. Every wee hours of the night, the wee hours of the morning.
I
crash when I can crash, and I, you know, post when I can post. The declassification of specific intelligence documents are going to be released. Here's what's going to happen. Now I'll tell you what to look for. People in the intelligence community that have seen everything they believed and trusted in going up in flames before their eyes, people with a conscience who now see that they've been part of the biggest lie in history, are going to do their best to make their peace with God and make right that history. You should listen to these words. These are not mine. The idea that God somehow is going to leave his people without a witness, without a warning, and without an empowerment to deal with all that's coming is for only those who will live forever in the, I guess you'd say, the position of the scorning. You cannot expect that most people, being carnal-minded, will even be able to embrace what we've talked about tonight. And I'm not reading this. I'm just sharing this. But we are at that point in history now, and history is his story, meaning God's story, meaning Jesus' redemption, where like it, leave it, love him, deny him. Everybody is in that valley of decision. And it's becoming more and more apparent that everything that people look for to truth, and this is, I guess I'm going to say this to everybody that still watches mainstream news, okay? Why seek ye the living amongst the dead? Why let them put the pollution into your head? Why smell the smell of vomit that fills your nostrils? Why allow yourself to vomit by their command? Why not turn away from it and take the master's hand? And I'm not trying to be Randy. God knows I'm not. But the point I'm trying to say is this. We are so at the point, I hate to overuse the word point. We are so at the nexus, if you will. We are so at the hub of all the spokes coming together that people can deny until they're blue in the face, but it will never, it can never be said they weren't told. And I believe God, and by the way, I pray, Doug, that God opens up the prayer, the ears, and answers the prayers of all God's people that pray for your show, that pray for the guests, me and others, that they'll really hear. Because I know there are people out there saying, oh, it's going to get great again for America, oh, you know, things are going to be swell. And I stand in opposition against those. I'm sorry, I do. I don't want to be contrary. As a matter of fact, I just want to go find Gideon. I want to say, God, give me a wine press. Let someone else fight the battle. And I've made that statement. And that's not false humility. That's not, that's just, brother, you know, at the end of the day, you just go, Father, if your people are as stubborn to you as they are, how can I even deal with them? And I'm not God. I want to make that clear. Never thought I was, never said I was. And there are people who go, he thinks he's God. No, not at all. I know who God is. The point being is that we are at, and I keep saying the point being, God, that POs people. Get to the point. Well, I say get to the point, and then you get torqued, you know. They get frustrated. The purpose of tonight is simply to say this, that everything you are seeing in the headlines concerning Antarctica and Mars is linked. It is linked to the coming revelation of the aliens created us. The greatest attack on the faith of God's believers, on the name of Jesus Christ. And I want to share something. I got asked a question once from the Lord that I wish I would not have, and he knows why he asked me it, but he asked me, Steve, if people took me serious, that if they don't confess me before men, how will I confess them before the Father? How many people will stand? And I said, Lord, those are the questions you have the answer for, but because my attitude might not be right, this is how I prayed, which is usually a lot of times the case, I don't think many. So I ask everyone tonight, if Jesus, or if you were taken in a heavenly vision, and I don't mean taken in death, I'm talking about literally translated to heaven, and God asked you the question he asked me when I was translated to heaven, why, when I've given you so much, Steve, have you done so little? What would you answer him? Well, Lord, I was too busy. You know, I mean, I really had some stuff going. What would you answer him? My only answer to him, when I bowed my head in shame at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, which is not the great white throne judgment, is, God, give me another chance. I want you to know, everyone, God is the God of the second chance, the third chance, and the millionth chance. And I still say this, the most powerful word I know in the English language or in any language before the throne of grace through the blood of Jesus as a child of God is help. Help, Lord. His everlasting promise, his everlasting power, his everlasting presence, his everlasting provision, his everlasting providence, his everlasting person, his everlasting posterity, because you are a child of the Most High God. Your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You're seated in heavenly places if you know Jesus as your Savior. And it doesn't get any better than that, Doug.
No, you're exactly right, and may I add, only chance as well. But no, you're exactly right on this. And you know, Steve, I just was thinking while you were talking, many people might ask the very simple question, you know, why are we here? You know, why are we alive? And I know how, maybe I'm not being linear at the moment, and I'm not very good at not being linear, I guess, but the fact of the matter is this, what you're hearing tonight from Steve Quayle, it really kind of, in a sideways manner, answers that question. It's we all have a job to do, by the way, but it's interesting because of all, everything we're seeing, everything that Steve Quayle's been talking about right now, or over the years, right now is coming, is right before us, right in front of us, and it's just a this whole thing is fascinating to me. It answers so much, in my view, anyway, and it shows God's. It's got the fingerprints of God all over. What you're saying has got the fingerprints of God on it. Does that make sense?
Well,
I mean,
it does.
It
better, Doug, because in essence, he holds us in the palm of his hand. I'm going to read one of my alerts, and I'll sign off for tonight, okay? Because I think it's important that people understand the what's coming at us, what's upon us, what is coming forth against us in all realms. And years ago, my friend Aftermath Bob sent me an email, and he couldn't remember a word that I had spoken, and he asked me, do you remember a word that was given years ago on talk radio? I said, yeah, I gave it. So this is the background on this statement. And by the way, when I'm off the air with Doug in a few minutes, I will be posting Randy's poem, probably probably in my alert page, and then I'll link it to the front page because I think it's that critical.
And by the way, I want to say this, Steve. I got to meet Randy at and Branson. What a tremendous man. His books, by the way, we have them here, tremendous books as well, books of poems. And I want to personally thank Randy for spending time with me for a few minutes at Branson.
Yeah, and sending us the books.
Yes, and doing that as well. Thank
They're
you,
great books, and do you guys know his website? Let me see if it's on his book. Randy, I can't think of it right now, so if you want to... It says randyconwaypoems.com. Randy, R-A-N-D-Y, Conway Poems, C-O-N-W-A-Y, poems.com. And I got to tell you this, and I don't say this to flatter him. I won't flatter anybody, but the Bible says give honor to whom honor is due, credit to whom credit is due, and most people don't recognize that a lot of the Old Testament, especially the Psalms, were written in prose and written in poetry. They rhymed. Obviously not in the English, but they rhymed. I love rhyme. It absolutely, it's the meter. I think the reason it appeals so much is it basically follows the flow of thoughts and the flow of life and the flow of blood within your body. So it's randyconwaypoems.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I promise you this. I have posted, not all of them, but the majority of them. If you read his poems, it's going to give you an understanding of the heart of God in a way you've never been able to embrace the Lord before. It's going to give you a neat way of looking and becoming excited about your walk with God like you've never done before. For instance, what I just read, Doug, he sums up, you know, probably two chapters of my book, and I love that. He gives, I would say, the heavenly cliff note version of so much. But I want to read this alert. It's on my website from October 12th. So the background of this is that my friend Aftermath Bob sent me an email saying, do you remember who spoke this? Somebody was asking on Mary's Board, which is a place that people post on. Words spoken by us a few years ago on talk radio. A memory of a prophecy stating that once judgment began, we would not have enough time to recover from one disaster before the next one hit. Do you recall any such prophecy? That was his email to me. My email back to him is, Bob, I think they may be referring to the word I gave years ago on radio. Here's how it went. Once the trouble starts, we will look to the left and it will be coming at us. We'll look to the right and more evil events will be closing in on us. We will look behind us as evil tries to overtake us. As we look forward, we'll see evil events fast approaching us, and as we look up, the powers of darkness will be raining down upon us. As we look down upon the earth, it will open up before us, as all hell is vomited out upon the earth to devour and make war against us. But here's the bottom line. But as we look to Jesus and keep our eyes on him, he will make a way for us and deliver us from evil. And as we walk by faith and not by sight. And that's what the thing I gave years and years ago. I would challenge anyone to look at it because, again, it doesn't matter. You got fires here, you got them in Portugal and Spain. You don't have them there, you have the oil refineries blowing up, which, by the way, in my opinion, is full-scale gray terror. You've got, everything underway now. It's happening at once. So if you don't keep your eyes upon Jesus, you cannot handle emotionally what's coming. So, Doug and Joe, blessings to you, my brothers, to everyone that's listening tonight. I'll be posting Randy Conway's poem, randyconwaypoems.com, and I encourage you all, please, get the book, Empire Beneath the Ice, on my website, stevequayle.com.
I'll second that.
And also, please, please, for your sake, take a look at the 25-minute symphony of sound and sights of Yellowstone Park. Nothing like it's ever been done. There is no way the average person could do that. I mean, they just couldn't because there's stuff there that's been filmed, in the most sophisticated way with shot over cameras, blah, blah, blah. That is not, by the way, I need to say that, that is not our full-length film that's under production right now that's going to blow, it's going to blow people's minds, literally, and it will blow people's minds before Yellowstone, the supervolcano, goes off. And here, last thing, keep your eyes on Cumbre Vieja. Expect them to cut the information moving from Cumbre Vieja. Cumbre Vieja is in the Canary Islands. It's the one that they've done National Geographic specials on Discovery Channel. If that thing sloughs into the sea, then you've got on the East Coast a minimum of a 500 to 1,500 foot tidal wave coming fast and furious. You'll have about 8 hours to head to higher ground. Never before have they had 350, 400 earthquakes in so few a days. It's a very big deal. Doug, it's never happened all the time I've been on talk radio, and I've looked at the history, and it just has never happened. So something is afoot, and hopefully you'll have the feet of faith to take you out of harm's way. Good night, everyone. God bless you. Thank
Steve,
you, Doug.
Thank
you, Joe.
God bless you, my brother. Thank you so very much. What a powerful – thank you for a powerful – powerful presentation, Steve. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And God bless. All right, bye. Wow. You know, folks, let me just offer something to the listeners out there. Sometimes, and I say this with a smile on my face, sometimes this is how our Steve and my conversations will go on the phone. Sometimes. All right. There's more interaction, of course, between, you know, from me, but seriously. So I'll ask him a question about a certain event or a certain issue, and it's like this. So I feel blessed to call him a brother and to have him to be able to just talk with him like that. Does that make sense to you?
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like Steve now. All right, folks, we're gonna be right back. You got to stay for the next hour. You're here. You got to stay. I'm gonna chain you right to the camera there. Gonna be right back for the final hour of the Hagman Report with news, some information, some analysis, some things that you need to know going into the weekend. Gonna be right back.
Just what kind of thriller predicts the future? In 3 days in the belly of the beast, Daniel Holdings wrote about the God Particle before CERN actually discovered the God Particle. In As the Darkness Falls, Daniel wrote about an Islamist terrorist confederacy that rose up out of Syria and declared a caliphate 3 years before ISIS was ever heard of. In his newest novel, Between the Veil, Daniel talks about a space between dimensions where supernatural beings can walk. He says that these novels are a warning from the Creator to his creation. Will war come to America? Will the world's economies collapse? Are we looking at increased earthquakes and volcanic activity? Will the United States fall into civil war? You can find all of Daniel's work at his website, danielholdings.com. That's danielholdings.com. All of these things and more are talked about in Daniel's books. To find out what's coming next, go to danielholdings.com.
Worldwide demand is making coconuts one of the highest-yielding cash crops available today. Coca-Cola, Pepsi, and many high-net-worth individuals have invested billions of dollars into coconuts for strong growth and solid long-term income. Yields could be as high as 18% or more per year. Capital appreciation and exceptional income for up to 60 long years would be an absolutely brilliant investment to pass on to future generations. Diversify wisely with direct ownership of fully managed coconuts on prime farmland close to the beautiful Costa Rican border. For more information, qualified accredited investors should go to profitsincoconuts.com or phone 855-888-6288. That's 855-888-6288. This announcement does not constitute an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offer made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288 or visit profitsincoconuts.com. Profitsincoconuts.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentations. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. Stained by Blood, Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.